Today, being the last Sunday in the month of September, September the 28th, we're looking at part number two of this lesson 11 from the book of Nehemiah. We've been going through the book of Nehemiah, Old Testament. And the title of this series has been Broken and Building, Becoming a Spiritual Leader. And you know what? God wants us to be able to be good spiritual leaders. Man, our world today needs to be led to Christ. You know, church is not going to get you anywhere. Baptism is not going to get you to heaven. Being a good person can't get you there. But coming to know Christ Jesus as your own personal Savior, the greatest day in my life, when as a 15-year-old boy, I came to know Christ as my Savior. Thank God for the bus ministry that came by my house and picked me up every week and brought me to Sunday school and the church. I got to hear the message of the gospel. And as a 15-and-a-half-year-old young man, I bowed on my knees and asked Christ to come to his heart and save him. And you know what? I'm thankful for that today. And now I want to set a good example. I want to be a good example before you as your teacher, as an associate pastor here at this church. I want to be a good example for the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of us should have that desire today to be a good example of the believers. And that's what we want to be able to do. So today, as we look at Nehemiah chapter number 9, good to have you folks with us today. Thank you for being here with us. Amen. Thank you for coming. Brother Tom, one of you guys, did you get a bulletin yet for Sunday school? Okay. Can one of you guys, brother, yeah. Yeah, get them a candy bar here too, all right? Brother Mike, get them a candy bar for visiting. Hey, you come in at a good time, amen? You can each get a chocolate bar, amen, yeah. That'll be great, amen. Good to have you with us today. All right? Great to have you with us. Thank you for being here today. But here as we look at this lesson, last Sunday we looked at this, and we looked at how that in point number one, Nehemiah was setting the example before the people as he fasted and prayed. He fasted and prayed. Many times folks, you know, they want to fast, but they neglect to take time to spend with God. And that's what fasting's all about. You're going without that time of food so you can spend more time with the Lord God. And Nehemiah set the right example before the people. And as we looked at it in Nehemiah chapter 9 last week, the people did the same. And then we looked at how the people mourned, even as Nehemiah had mourned. Point number two there. And they set themselves out in sackcloth and ashes. And that was the Old Testament custom. They went to God and they prayed. And they followed Nehemiah's example. But today, I want us to look at, we're going to start here at point number three, where the people confessed their sin unto God, even as Nehemiah had confessed his sin before God. Now remember, the people had been in bondage for 70 years because of sin. God had told them, listen, if you continue to reject me, if you continue to disobey me, you continue to rebel against me, there are consequences for sin. And folks today don't realize consequences for sin. But consequences are real, and they happen. And now, their city had been destroyed. Their temple had been destroyed. Everything, the walls were torn down. And now God had laid it upon Nehemiah's heart to rebuild. And they had done that. Record time, 52 days, they rebuilt the city, the walls. And now, the people followed the example they saw in Nehemiah's life. And again, I want to ask you this question. How many folks are seeing Christ in our lives? And we're setting an example that people would want to follow. Man, that's what we've got to do today. Now, I want us to look at this. Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning in verse number 2. The Bible said, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. They got away from the world. All right, now let me touch on this a minute. Separation. They separated themselves from the things of this world so that they could present themselves unto God as a holy vessel, so that they could be used of God. And listen, the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers. They stood, they confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. My goodness, think about that. 1/4 part of the day. Now, if you divide 24 hours into 4 sections, how many hours is that? 6. You guys are good in math. Amen. You're good. But they spent time in the Word of God. And folks, this is something that pastor is always trying to tell us. Get in the book and let the book get in you. Amen. And you know what? You need to spend time with God. Amen. We talk to God. That's called prayer. But when God speaks to us through His Word, listen, we see what He wants us to see and understand and to know. And look what the Bible said. They stood up in their place and they read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now I want you to go back to the book of Nehemiah chapter 1 just a moment. When all this started, you remember what happened when Nehemiah first heard about Jerusalem's predicament? You remember what happened? Look what happened here. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5. The Bible said that Nehemiah prayed and he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and the terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. You see, Nehemiah chose to come clean with God. Now, let me say something here today. God sees all that we do. He knows what's in our heart. But you know what? When we don't see it, there's a problem. And if we want fellowship with the Lord God, we need to keep our hearts clean with God. Amen. Salvation is a one-time event. Just like birth. When I was born, okay, some of the kids, I was teaching up here in the fifth grade class the other week, and some of the kids asked me when I was born. And you know, these kids, they don't know anything except the 2000 mark, okay, all right? And I told them, I said, man, I was born in the middle 1900s. And they said, wow. You know, they're thinking I'm down there with George Washington and all those other guys, you know. But man, these folks, you know, God sees everything that we've done. I had a one-time birth that birthed me into my family. Nothing can reverse that. Nothing can change that. I can't ever be unborn after you've been physically born, aren't you? You ladies glad about that, amen? You can't send them back where they came from, amen? And you know what? It's the same way with salvation. When we are birthed into the family of God by faith in Christ, we are given what kind of life? Everlasting, eternal life. We belong to God. We're His forever. And now Nehemiah said, listen, God, we know we're Your chosen people, but we have not been what we ought to be for You. We've sinned against You. We've done wrong. We've neglected You. We've rebelled against You. We've turned away from Your commandments, the Word of God. Folks, that's where our country's at today. We've turned away from the Word of God. We've received the blessings of God. We're thankful, supposedly, for all the blessings that God has given us, but we have forgotten the One who has given us the blessings. And Nehemiah chose to come clean and be honest with God as he confessed his own personal sin and the sin of his fathers and the nation against God. Nehemiah confessed these sins to God because he realized it was due to these sins that Israel had received judgment from God for their sin. And folks, I'm telling you something today. If America doesn't get her heart right with God, we're going to face judgment today too. We're going to face it. Listen to me. You cannot continue in sin and expect the blessings of God to be upon you. It's not going to happen. And we as born-again believers, if God does not see revival in our hearts, how is our lost nation ever going to see revival? We've got to ask God for revival in our hearts. And it begins, first of all, with confessing our sins unto God. Now, here in Nehemiah chapter 9, the people saw and they understood that it was because of their sin and their disobedience to God that they had experienced God's judgment for their sin. They realized that. They come to realize that. They understood it now. So now they followed Nehemiah's example and they confessed their sin unto God. They wanted to come clean before God. And notice how they did this. First of all, the Bible said here in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 2, the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. Then the Bible said in verse number 3, they stood up in their place and they read in the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 part of the day, another part of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. They really took this thing serious, did they not? They took time. They spent time alone with God. They got away from the world. Listen, folks, there comes a time in your life where you need to get away from all the rat race and all this mess going on in our world around us today and just get alone with God. Get alone with God. Get in the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Let it sink in your heart and show you how we ought to be living each and every day for God. Then they spent time alone with God confessing their sin because they knew they had disobeyed God. I use this verse a lot of times with my own children. And I want to share this verse with you today because it's a very important verse. And you need to see this. In Proverbs chapter number 28, Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13, Solomon reminded us here of something that we need to remember. There are a lot of people that when they're caught for doing wrong, they put on a big show and you know they're sorry they got caught, okay? But they're not really sorry for doing what they did wrong. And there's a difference, folks. And in Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 13, I want you to look at what the Bible said. Solomon wrote here, he said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You try to cover that sin and you try to just hide it and all this stuff, you're not going to prosper with that. God's not going to bless that because you're not sorry for the sin that you did. You're sorry that you got caught for that. And there's a difference. But I want you to see the second part of that verse. Look at it. It said, but whoso confesseth, and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know what God is trying to tell us here? When we recognize sin in our lives, we need to turn away from it. Forsake it. Get away from it. Don't let it ruin us anymore. Turn it aside. Get away from it. And he said, whoso confesseth and forsaketh those sins shall have mercy. One may ask, well, just how serious really were these Jews regarding time in the Word of God? How serious were they really in taking time alone and just admitting their sins to God and getting things right between them and God? Look what the Bible said. The Bible said here in verse 1 that the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Now, folks, listen to me. That means that they chose to get away from any of those distractions. You need to find you a little place where you can go and just get away from the Lord. I remember growing up after I got saved, we had a little small house that we lived in, had one bathroom in it, had a tub next to the window, and a clothes hamper here, and then the commode was there, and the sink, and then it was the door. And that was it. That was my dad's meeting room when we did wrong. He came and sat upon the throne and gave us the punishment we needed to get, okay? But you know what? I didn't have a place. I shared a room with two other people in my family. There was no other place to go. So what I would do sometimes, and I know this may sound crazy to you, but I would go to the bathroom, just close the lid on that little commode, and I used the clothes hamper as my little desk. And I'd put my Bible there, and I'd sit on there, and I would just read the Word of God. And get in the Word of God. And the Word of God got in me. And man, I'm telling you, folks, the Word of God made a difference in my heart and my life. And listen, if you got to just go outside, just find your little rock out in the woods somewhere. Go to your back bedroom somewhere. Just get alone with God and let the Word of God speak to you. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart as you read the Word of God. These folks were serious about this stuff. They got away from TV and radio. Well, maybe they didn't do that back then, but we need to do that today. Turn that thing off. Turn off all the bad commercials and the bad TV shows and all this other stuff that gets in your heart and your mind and just corrupts us and makes us think wicked things. Turn it off and just spend some time alone with the Lord. And then look at what verse 2 said. They stood up, they confessed their sin and the iniquities of their fathers. Be honest with God. That's what he's trying to get the point across here. Be honest with God. Listen, God already knows what we've done. God already knows how we failed or what we've done or not done for him. But you know what? It was like with our children when they did wrong. If they wanted to restore the fellowship with mom and dad, they had to come and say, we did wrong. Would you forgive us? And you know what? We would forgive them. And then it was forgotten. Just like it is with God. And you know what? We need to do that today. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. The Bible said here in verse number 2, they stood up in their place. They read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, and they confessed their sins unto God. It's never a waste of time, folks, to read your Bible. It's never a waste of time to pray and to confess your sins and seek God's wisdom in your life. What does James 1:5 say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally and upbraideth not. And it should be given unto him. And folks, that's what we need to do. Then number 4, look at this. The people not only confessed their sin, but they worshiped God, even as Nehemiah had worshiped God. Look at verses 3 and 4. They stood up in their place. They read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Benai, and Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunny, I guess that's Bunny, and Sherebiah, Bani, Shanina, and cried out unto the Lord their God, cried out with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. They worshiped the Lord. They knew who they were worshiping. They served him. They confessed their sins unto God. And again, now we see that it was not just a matter that just drew them to themselves, but it drew them closer to the Lord God himself. Now, folks, listen. We need to draw nigh unto God. It's a good thing to do that. I want you to see what David said about that. Psalm chapter 73. It's one of my favorite verses in the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 73, verse number 28. I want you to look at this verse. The psalmist writes here, he said, but it is good for me. Good for who? Good for me. And listen, if it was good for David, it's good for me. It's good for you. It's good for each of us. But it is good for me. Psalm 73, verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Why? That I may declare all thy works. You know what, folks? When we get close to God, we're able to share God with other people. Yesterday, I was talking to Jeremy and Jaden yesterday about that. They're going to follow the Lord in believers' baptism next Sunday. And we were talking about it yesterday, about how that we ought to be rejoicing in the fact, number one, that we've been saved. Number two, that we can have an opportunity to not be ashamed of the Lord and let everybody know around us that we've been saved. That's what baptism's all about. It's that spiritual wedding band that lets everybody know, hey, I belong to somebody. This is what Jesus did for me. When they're standing up there in that water, they're representing how that Jesus died for them on the cross. He was buried for them, and he arose again. And now, even as the Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. Why? Because he found out that God loved him. And he wanted everybody else to know. And folks, that's what happened here. They saw the mercy of God extended to them in their lives. And they thanked the Lord for that. They worshiped the Lord God of heaven. And they praised his name. And then look what it said, number five. Then the people prayed even as Nehemiah had prayed. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all of these verses. But verses 5 through 38, we can see how the people prayed unto God. You know, Paul encouraged Timothy to pray unto God. I want you to look at something here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse 12. I want you to see this verse. And Paul wrote unto his son in the faith, Timothy, and he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of what? Of the believers. Not of the world." We're not to look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and do things like the world does, because the world doesn't know Christ. He said, "But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." What is he saying? In the very words that come out of our mouth. Listen, this slang that people use today, and they're using words that they're not supposed to use. Slang is just as bad as you just cussing. Just don't do it. Don't talk like the world. Then he said, in our conversation, that's meaning our lifestyle, the way that we live for the Lord. Listen, the way that we live ought to portray Christ in all that we do. Look what else he said, in charity. That word charity talks about the very character of God's love. You say, "Well, preacher, there's people I just can't love." Well, you know what? You and I were one of those that God ought not to have loved, but he chose to anyway. You know what? I can't love folks in my power. I got to love folks in Christ's power. I got to love folks as Christ, God so loved me, and he gave his son Jesus for me. And you know what? That's what we've got to do. That's the type of love that we need to have. Listen, we look at folks in our world today. We see the perversion and the way that things are taught in the public education and things like that. They don't have a problem with abortions and doing away with little unborn babies and all these crazy lifestyles and things like that. But folks, I want you to think about something for a moment. Were it not for the grace of God, that could be you, that could be me today. Thank God that somebody came and shared the Word of God. We saw it in their lives. Man, we've got to show forth that love in God's love. Not ours, but in God's love. In spirit. That's the attitude in which we do things. Listen, and sometimes I've said this, just not thinking. Like next week, I have to go preach at the nursing home. I don't have to go preach. I get to go preach, amen? I have the privilege to go preach in the nursing home. I have the opportunity to share the message of the gospel with folks and let them know. Listen, this could be the last stop before heaven for some of them. They need to hear the message of the gospel. So the attitude in which we serve the Lord, it ought to be an attitude of gratitude, amen? We serve the Lord because he loved us and gave himself for us. In faith, we trust the Lord. Sometimes we don't see a way to get out of situations and problems. We don't know how in the world we're going to work things out. But the just shall live by faith, amen? Faith, spell it out, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Amen? That's what faith is. We forsake all this other stuff. And in purity. Listen, when my wife fixes supper, she'll say, "Go up there and get you a plate." And I pulled out a plate out of the cabinet the other night. We pulled them out of the dishwasher. And there was a little piece of food still stuck in the middle of my plate. And so I stuck it back. I scratched it off, stuck it back over in the sink. She said, "What's the matter with that plate?" And I said, "It's not clean." She said, "Honey, it's just a little bit of dirt." It's just a little bit of something. You ate it last week, you know. What's wrong with it today? No. I wanted a clean plate, amen? All right? I didn't want it dog clean. I wanted it real clean. Precious is a good dog. She licks it clean, but I mean, yeah. And you know what? God wants our lives to be pure as well. Hey, listen. The sweet Holy Spirit of God is the perfume that is to be shared from our lives. God sometimes has to break the seal on us so the sweetness can come out and let folks see Christ in us. That's what it's talking about here. Nehemiah here, the man of God, had proven himself to be a good example of the believers before this people. And he had shown what God had done for them. Now in verses 5 and 6, we see that they recognize the power of God for their lives. And I want you to see this today. Look at chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. It was not by man's power, but it was God's power. Look at what it said. Then the Levites, and I'm not going to name all these fellows because I have trouble naming them all, but you can read them. They said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone." You see that word Lord all capitalized? Jehovah God. Jehovah God. "Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee." They recognize God's power. But secondly, look at this. In verses 7 through 30, they recognize God's providence. Providence in their lives. Look at it. Verses 7 and 8, they rehearse the history of Israel. Okay? And the unconditional covenant that God had made with Abraham. You know what? God did not forget his covenant to bless them. God never forgets, folks. And you know what? We need to be thankful for that today. God does not forget. Look at verses 9 through 12. They take time. They recall the faithfulness of God to defeat their enemies in Israel and to bring them out of bondage with a mighty hand. Listen, folks, when is the last time you sat down and just thought about where God brought you from? Man, what God has done for you. What he has given unto you. Look at this. Verses 15 through 18, they recalled and they confessed their failure, the failure of their fathers to keep the law and to obey the words of God. But then in verses 19 through 21, they praise God for his continual faithfulness and mercy. Even though they had failed the Lord, God was still faithful to them. Amen? We've got something to be thankful for today. Look at verses 22 through 25. These people recognize and they praise the Lord God for giving the nation of Israel not what they deserved for all their rebellion and unrighteousness toward God. Listen, they should have been wiped off the face of the earth because they had disobeyed God. But God had fulfilled his promise, and he was going to continue to fulfill his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And to bring these people into a land that they didn't work for, but that God was going to be willing to give unto them. God was faithful. And as you get down in verses 26, they recalled even how that though God had been faithful, their forefathers had still chosen to disobey God. They knew these things. They knew that they had disobeyed. But in verse 27, they recognized the why. Why did God vex them? Why did God punish them? Why did God bring them back into captivity? They recognize that. And folks, we need to recognize that. Listen, when we see judgment coming for sin, we need to confess it to God. We need to come clean with God. And even though God has showed mercy here in the latter part of this chapter, verse 27, the Bible said, "In the time of their trouble, when they called unto thee, thou heardest them from the heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors." Now that word saviors there is small letter. It's not the savior like Christ, but saviors. These were deliverers people that brought them out, that guided them in the right way, who saved them out of the hands of their enemies. And then in verses 28 through 30, they show how the people, yet again, they still turned away from God in all that they did. And it's sad to see, and even know that today, you and I have done things, we turned away from God. And man, we need to take time to get it right. But then in verses 31 through 38, we see how the people recognize the fact of God's wonderful provision in their lives. Now let me get to the last point real quick before we close, because we've got to close out. Number 6, the people remembered all that God had done, even as Nehemiah remembered. Folks, never forget what God has done for you. Amen. Never forget. Verse 38, and because of all this, because, God, you've been faithful to us. Even when we failed you, God, you've been faithful. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, our Levites and priests seal unto it. Man, that's revival, folks. They were willing to put their commitment in writing so that the next generation would know that they had seen the consequences for sin. They realized that God was still faithful to forgive them of their sin, and that they could still serve God if they'd come clean with Him. Man, this is a model chapter for each of us today. We need to go back to the Word of God and be willing to confess that sin. Come clean with God. If we want revival in our lives, God has to use clean vessels to bring revival to a lost and dying world. And folks, if there's no revival in our hearts, there'll be no salvation, no conviction of sin, no difference in the world around us. We need to come clean. We need to set the right example. And when we get back next Sunday morning, we're going to look at Nehemiah chapters 10 and 11. And we're going to see the people that were saying, I'm willing to put my name on the document and say, I'm going to live for God. My question to you today would be this. Would you be willing today to just commit your heart and life to God and say, Dear God, here I am. I know I've failed you. I know I've come short. I know that I've not been the Christian I ought to be for you. But God, I ask you to forgive me because you are merciful. Use me now, Lord, to be the right example before my family, my friends, my loved ones, my neighbors, my co-workers, that I might lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Set the example. That's the job we have to do today. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you today, and I thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be able to teach this class. And Lord, I thank you for the Word of God that shows us how that we need to come clean with you, Lord, in order to have revival in our hearts and lives so that the world can see something that's true and real. Lord, our world is lost and it's on its way to a devil's hell. And God, if we don't show them love and mercy from God, who's going to? Lord, I pray that you'll help us to set a right example in the eyes of the people around us. Help us, Lord, to be what you'd want us to be today. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he comes to preach in just a moment. I pray, God, that you'll fill him with your power and speak to hearts. And Lord, if there be anyone in this room today or listening to the sound of my voice through the internet, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart. If they're not saved, help them, Lord, to see their need to be saved. Confess their sin unto you and ask you to save them today. Father, please help us, Lord, to set the right example. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school.